For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, New American Standard Bible Version. This is probably one of the best known verses from the Bible. In fact, I would dare to say that it has become rote in many people's minds, and that is a shame. No. That is tragic. This verse is, without any doubt, the most significant prophetic and spiritual oracles from God. It is, as they say, a game changer for all of humanity. So, let's get a few things straight. John 3:16 can be read and understood on several levels. First, on a personal level. Most people see this as saying that God loves me so much that he was willing to sacrifice his Son in order to somehow, in some mysterious and incomprehensible way, negate all my sins. Why is this? Because God says that the penalty of sin is death. If you see this in a natural way, it's silly because we all die physically, but he is talking about a spiritual death. Even then, the Bible goes on to say that spiritual death is really a separation from God, and heaven, and an eternal punishment in the lake of fire, also known as hell. But wait. God knew ahead of time, as did Jesus, that he, Jesus, would not remain dead. He rose from the dead. So, what kind of sacrifice, what kind of gift, i.e., the gift of salvation, is offered and then reversed? If you see this in the natural, in the me sort of way, it makes no sense, that is, unless you just want to live in the fog of mystery. I believe this is why so many people begin to doubt their salvation at some point and why so many others fall away from the faith. It could also be understood on an emotional level. Stirring the emotions of people is one of the most powerful tools of preachers to get someone to confess Jesus in a little sinner's prayer and accept Jesus into their heart. This also makes little to no sense biblically speaking. But, it does add a member to the roles of the church and gets the tithing machine going. Not to be too critical here, because this has seen success for those who hang in there long enough to really get saved. The problem here is that we accept Jesus? Just that though that we give the God of all creation permission to inhabit us is ludicrous. Contrary to what the little sinner's prayer says, the Bible says, to be saved we must believe in him, which encompasses forsaking our current life, our own way of living, thinking and behaving and conform to the ways and teachings of Jesus. We must die to self, sell out to the gospel and to Jesus and become his disciple, friend and servant. How does accepting Jesus and allowing him into our heart square with the Bible when it says that from the days of John the Baptist until now the kingdom of heaven suffers violent assault, and violent men seize it by force, as a precious prize? This is saying that the one who truly finds God will, spiritually speaking, pursue the kingdom with determination and zeal, overcoming obstacles and opposition. This aligns with the idea of spiritual warfare, where believers must be proactive in their faith. Theologically, it underscores the cost of discipleship and the need for perseverance in the face of adversity, as seen in passages like Ephesians 6:12 and 1 Timothy 6:12. See Bible, hub.com. And my most favorite, to dislike, is that this verse can be understood on a philosophical level. This is for the poetic mind. The one with an imagination. The dreamer. Much like the lyrics from Midnight Cowboy. Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stopping, staring. I can't see their faces. Only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining. Through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast winds. Sailing on a summer breeze. And skipping over the ocean like a stone. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. Wah. This is how some poetic dreamers visualize being saved. So sad. Or even better, the lyrics from the Joker. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry. 'Cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner. I'm a lover and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker. I'm a midnight toker. I sure don't want to hurt no one. I'm a picker, I'm a grinner. I'm a lover and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker. I'm a midnight toker. I get my loving on the run. Hoo ooh, hoo ooh. Hoo ooh, hoo ooh. This is how some poetic dreamers visualize being saved. So dumb. So sad. So dead. The philosophical approach to the gospel and to salvation and to John 3:16 is a surefire miss. And missing the mark, which is the actual definition of sin, is deadly. John 3:16, for God, the omniscient, omnipresent and omnipotent maker and creator of the worlds, the cosmos and over every living thing, so loved the world, cosmos, that he gave, didymi, of one's own accord to give one something, to his advantage, to bestow, give as a gift that is never taken back, his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This verse must be read and understood as the prophetic word of God. It is the very breath of God, the flesh and blood of Jesus. It is all about God and about Jesus, and yes, men and women must actively and aggressively storm the gates of heaven, so to speak, in order to obtain it. In other words, do all you must do and all that you can do so God will do only what he can do so that you will not perish, but have eternal life. Isaiah 55:8-13 reminds us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it produce and sprout, and providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the purpose for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy, and be led in peace. The mountains and the hills will break into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the juniper will come up, and instead of the stinging nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord, an everlasting sign which will not be eliminated. God is not our buddy. He is an awesome God and greatly to be feared, Psalm 89:7. We must approach him in reverence and awe. Yet he is a merciful, loving God, and he loves us with an indescribable, unfathomable, unending love. So much so that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Your brother and friend, Mike Young.